Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And as newly insured patients begin to use the insurance they bought on the New York State Health Exchange under Obamacare, they're starting to share stories of how they like or don't like their new plans. And one storyline that's emerging is that the new plans have relatively few in-network doctors to choose from, and none of these plans offers any out-of-network doctors for reimbursement. And New York State just announced that it will not require carriers to offer any out-of-network coverage for next year. Here to explain why these plans have such narrow networks are Fred Mogul, healthcare reporter for WNYC, and Elizabeth Benjamin, vice president of health initiatives at the Community Service Society, a think tank focused on helping low-income New Yorkers. She was also a navigator who helped people choose Obamacare plans. Hi, Fred. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Brian.
And listeners, we want your stories. If you bought a new plan on the exchange in New York State, how's it working out for you? And are you surprised by the narrowness of the networks? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Fred, how narrow are these networks, and can you really not go out of plan at all?
You cannot go out of plan at all. That was something that the state devised. It's one of the main ways that they kept the costs low. I mean, clearly, if you're going to put a lot of people into an insurance system and with subsidies you're going to keep the prices low, you're going to pay providers less money on some level. You know, there's a different hierarchy of payments, and whether it's a question of the providers themselves opting out and just refusing to take the payment, or the frankly the insurers not even bothering to negotiate with individual people, but just kind of squeezing their networks. A lot of this, by the way, is kind of a relatively short-term issue with communication. Doctors not knowing whether they're in network or out of network, patients or prospective enrollees having a difficult time figuring out who's in network and who's out of network. So it's taking a little while to sort out, but one of the big strategies of the whole plan, really, and particularly in New York, has been to keep those networks narrow. That way the insurers drive a hard bargain and keep their reimbursement costs relatively low.
So, Elizabeth Benjamin, as a longtime advocate for Obamacare, as a navigator for Obamacare, helping people sign up, as an advocate for the state setting up its own exchange rather than relying on the federal government, are you a little shocked that it turned out this way?
Definitely, I'm not shocked. I mean, I think these are really tough policy choices. I think we have to sort of, in some, for a moment, I would like us to kind of take a step back. I mean, number one, New York has enrolled 960,000 people into coverage, and that's just sort of an extraordinary thing. 80% of those folks had no insurance in coverage before then. So we're talking about 80% of the folks of those 960,000 people getting coverage, you know, really for the first time in a while, and that's very exciting. And I think, you know, those folks, the reason why many, many groups of those people were uninsured before is that when you tried to buy health insurance on the old individual market, you were asked to pay over $1,000 a month, in some cases $1,600 a month, just for one person. So when we started the marketplace, the state, you know, sent out an invitation, and it was voluntary, and it still remains voluntary, for the carriers to offer, you know, either in-network coverage or out-of-network coverage. None of the carrier, well, that's not true. Some carriers out in Western New York do offer out-of-network coverage, but the ones down in the city do not. And prices, you know, around the state have dropped on average by 53%. So there's this real sort of out-of-network option versus cost, you know, trade-off. And when the Kaiser Family Foundation in February polled people who were likely to buy coverage through the health insurance exchange, they found on an order of 54% to 35% of people they talked to, they would rather have cheaper plans than out-of-network coverage. Now, that may not be everybody's choice, but when you tell people that out-of-network coverage is going to cost them more than 25% more in premium dollar, a lot of people say, well, you know, in theory, I would like out-of-network coverage, and that's a top priority for me, but it isn't actually my number one priority. That said, Healthcare for All New York, which I'm a co-founder of, and have been an advocate, as you pointed out, a strong advocate for Obamacare, has consistently advocated that people should have that choice. And there's a bill in Albany that would make that a choice. But at the end of the day, it seems like the state, although they thought about doing it this in the next year's plans, they decided to pull back from actually requiring the plans to offer out-of-network coverage.
And so, Fred, if you're limited to doctors in plan with whatever insurance carrier you choose on the Obamacare exchange in New York State, there would need to be a robust network of doctors to make this work. And yet the other half of this seems to be that there aren't that many doctors in a lot of the plans. How limited is it?
Well, the state does a pretty rigorous job, they would argue, of scoring the individual plans when they apply. They have to meet certain levels of network adequacy. They have to provide a certain number of physicians, primary care physicians, say, within 30 miles or 30 minutes of a given zip code. They're constantly reevaluating. Plans can drop physicians and so on, but they're constantly supposedly watching this. So. I don't think we should give the picture that it's super, super dire, for one thing. And we should also bear in mind that, frankly, in good old classic traditional commercial insurance, like many of us get, we're constantly talking about the uninsured, but the majority of New Yorkers and Americans are insured, and they're mostly employer-based plans. And there's very frequently problems finding physicians in our own networks, so particularly specialists, particularly mental health people, particularly physical therapy things. So it's not that unusual, and it's not unique to the health exchange.
Tim?
And then I guess I would just jump in
and
say, there are several plans downstate that do have extremely robust networks. I mean, over 100. Two plans list themselves as having over 100 hospitals in the New York City region and over 40,000 doctors, and that's a very strong network by any, person's imagination. So I think you have to be pretty careful and really shop wisely. I think some of the older kind of blue chip plans that we expected to use their same networks, it turned out that they revised their networks kind of mid-course. And I think that shocked a bunch of people who were enrolling on the understanding that there were broader networks, and then those networks became a lot more restricted. And so to respond to that moving forward, the state in its new invitation has said that the plans must update their provider directories, within 2 weeks of any change of a provider. And I think that will help with some of this.
Listeners, your experience with finding a doctor once you purchased an Obamacare health insurance policy, especially in New York State, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Hiya in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So you bought Obamacare in New York State on
yes,
a state
I did.
Exchange? Uh-huh.
And within a few days, I realized that I'm up to a big headache. Nothing is working. When I call the insurance, the people that pick up the phone, they don't know information, what to give me, where to go. When I call a doctor office, they assume that the insurance I have is a Medicaid. When I sat with a navigator initially in December, I checked all the specialists, and they all were on the insurance that I picked, and that's why I went ahead and signed for it. But within a few days, I realized none of the specialists are on the list. I cannot access any of them. If
really?
I need a specialist today, most likely I have to go to one of their Medicaid clinic that insurance is running for years for the state. And that's how they do the whole system. They do the Medicaid, and they put the paying people in the same system.
So let me see if I understand one aspect of what you said, that when you were shopping for a policy on the New York State Exchange, you worked with a navigator, and you checked to see if the specialists who you see were in plan for a particular insurance policy. You saw that they were. You bought that insurance policy, and afterwards it turned out that they weren't?
Exactly.
So, Elizabeth Benjamin, do you think this is a common experience that Hiya is having?
I would definitely hope not. That does not sound right in any stretch of the imagination. I know that the state, you know, if she goes to the state exchange and complains about what happened, they would be in contact with the carrier and they would help her get to the specialist that she needs. She could also go back to her navigator and try talking to her navigator and seeing if the navigator would help her with this process. But that definitely does not sound right.
Hiya, good luck. John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Fantastic show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I learned so much from you guys and your guests. I had completely the opposite experience as your last caller. My name's John Koch, and I'm a self-employed singer and voice teacher here in Manhattan. And I was under the Healthy Care New York, under Empire Blue Cross, and panicking what's going to happen, because when I got a letter from them saying Healthy New York was not going to be any longer. So I went online in October, and I was able to sign up. The reason that I ended up going to Community Service Society on East 22nd Street was because I couldn't personally figure out what plan to choose, you know. And I realized, and I'm that I did not go to my doctors and make a list of my doctors, contact them, and say, what health care plans are you taking? I eventually went with Fidelis, and all of my specialists, everybody was happy. I'm paying half right. What I was paying Empire Blue Cross, and I have all the people that I need to see.
So it's working out, and your doctors are actually in the plan. John, thank you very much. Now, Fred, it's funny that he mentions Fidelis, because my understanding is that's the one exception out there that has a little bit of out-of-network benefit.
Right. In terms of the downstate region, Elizabeth was good to remind us that far upstate, there are a couple plans with out-of-network benefits. I'm not sure how well subscribed they are out there. Fidelis is a Catholic nonprofit. They've been around for years as a Medicaid-managed care HMO. And they've joined the exchange. But because they're Catholic, they have there are certain challenges and workarounds, not probably for John, but in terms of reproductive issues. And actually, Elizabeth knows a lot more about this than I do and can tell you.
Is that their only out-of-network area? It's for reproductive
right,
services?
Right, because they're Catholic.
Because they get that special provision under Obamacare where they don't have to provide it.
Right, but it's my understanding, and I've just started to look into this, that it's theoretically they can go out of network for reproductive benefits, but it's not that easy to use, and a lot of people, women signing up for, didn't necessarily understand that they were signing up for a Catholic, oriented program that would have these challenges.
Elizabeth, I'm still thinking about our first caller, Haya, and the shock that she experienced when she learned that the doctors who she thought were going to be in plan on her exchange policy turned out not to be. The Times had a story last week that found some doctors affiliated with Mount Sinai are dropping their low-cost Affordable Health Care plans, Affordable Care Act plans. Is this going to become a trend, and could it make the in-network doctor pool even lower since Mount Sinai is the city's biggest private hospital network? Do you know what the problem was there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought at the end of the story they said that they were actually still in negotiations, but maybe I misread that. I mean, I think what happens
maybe
all the
Maybe, it could
time,
be that I'm mischaracterizing.
Yeah, no, maybe I did, so I don't want to, like... But I think what happens all the time, and what we don't know, but we're all sort of really fixated on right now, is that providers and plans sort of renegotiate their contracts a lot and quite often. Many, many providers do not understand that they've signed something called an all-products contract with health insurance companies, and so they have agreed to take whatever health insurance policy the carrier has issued, but a lot of them don't understand it. Now, it is also true that some of the carriers are saying, to providers, we want you to just do Empire Small Group and not Empire Marketplace. For example, I mean, I'm just making that up, picking on Empire because of the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that It's a work in progress. I mean, I think I've made this analogy before. It's like musical chairs, and the music is still playing, and we're not really quite sure who's going to be in and who's not going to be in. And that's still happening, which is one of the reasons why the state in their latest sort of rules of engagement for next year, roadmap for next year, is saying, look, new plans have to list within 15 days every time a provider is in or on or off your network, so that there's perfect information. And I think moving forward, what we at Healthcare for All New York is really advocating is that the state, all of us, navigators, the state, the carriers, all do a better job of explaining how many providers, how many hospitals, how many specialists, who's open, to consumers, so the consumers can have good and, you know, open and thorough choice in making their decisions. So that's sort of where we would go going forward. And then I think the other thing is that we really do support continuing this policy conversation about whether we should really mandate out-of-network offerings, at least at the platinum and silver levels.
Let me get one more caller story on here. Isabel in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Isabel.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm currently helping a young woman who needs a cornea transplant. I'm the caregiver. And she purchased the Obamacare in December. We've been going to so many doctor's appointments that we make under the understanding that they are taking the insurance. And when we showed up to the appointment, they give us a lot of complex explanations and tell us that we have to pay a big copayment. And it's very hard for us at the moment when we're there with a person that needs to see the doctor. She's losing her eyesight. And they tell us we need to call the provider, we need to call the doctors, we need to choose a different doctor. We've been going for 6 months trying to get this person to get the final appointment for the cornea transplant. And the providers are telling us first that, yes, go ahead, come on over, and they give us an appointment. When we in their office, they ask us to pay a big copayment and that they don't take the insurance.
And that they don't take the insurance? Are you saying that the doctors initially tell you that they are in plan for this Obamacare exchange policy, and then when you get there, they say they're not?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what's happening to us.
Yes.
So, I mean,
Elizabeth,
help her.
So
what I think she should do is call her carrier. Carriers are sort of required to have things like each one uses their own name, but like a care manager or a case manager. She needs to have the insurance company quarterback her care. I mean, this is serious, that, you know, we don't want this person to lose her vision. And the carriers do have people, you know, as advocates, they can help her through this process. And if that doesn't work, she can also call the State Consumer Assistance Program at 888-614-5400, a community health advocate, and get an advocate to sort of help get the carrier engaged on quarterbacking it. And then finally, she could also call the Department of Financial Services, who regulates these carriers and could have, you know, also sort of focus them if they are in any way recalcitrant. But it really seems to me that I don't think the carrier, it's not in anybody's interest for this person to lose their vision. And I'm sure if, with a couple of calls that we could sort of get this back on track.
Isabel, I hope that's helpful to you. Fred, we're almost out of time, but do the Obamacare exchange policies in New York reimburse much less to doctors than private insurance plans? Is that a reason that there are relatively few signing up?
I think there's at a minimum a suspicion that they will. So you have people waiting on the sidelines because why risk it? It's much easier to jump in than to jump out. So that's part of it. It does seem likely, that it will fall somewhere in between, Medicaid and Medicare rates. But it's tough to say, and it varies a lot. Providers or insurers rather that want to offer that as a plus and maybe charge a little more for customers, they'll get more doctors by reimbursing more generously. But there's a lot of different ways that it's playing out in different medical settings, whether it's private practices, hospitals, or medical groups.
All right. Work in progress, as our guest Elizabeth Benjamin from the Community Service Society said, and we'll keep following the progress of the rollout of Obamacare. In this case, why the plans being offered in New York don't allow any out-of-plan doctor visits and reimburse them at all. We've been talking with Elizabeth Benjamin and WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will help introduce WNYC's new parenting podcast, The Longest Shortest Time, by hearing your birth stories with podcaster Hillary Frank. Stay with us.